The scripture reading is Psalms 55. It's just one little verse. Psalm 55, verse 15. So if everyone will stand in honor of the scriptures. Psalm 55, 15 says, "Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." You may be seated. What a very interesting verse that is. I hope nobody's offended by this message. But I feel as the older I get, we have a lot of enemies. We really do. We are a minority. We should be part of the minority program in the government. If you put the first one up there, it goes this whole part. Rand and I saw this on the internet. I will summarize what it said. But it was really something. It said as far back as 10,000 B.C., what had been the god of mankind? Well, it says the sun. The many cultures have understood that without the sun, the crops won't grow. And the stars also were involved with solstices and eclipses. The constellations were also involved. And there is a zodiac, which made up 12 constellation and solstices and ellipses during the year in the four perfect divisions. Well, gee, that's where we get the 12 months of the year and the four seasons of the year. Horus is the sun god of Egypt. Horus had an enemy by the name of Set. Horus is depicted by light and Set by darkness. So that produced a daily fight between good and evil. It was a common duality. Look at the next part. When was Horus born? December 25th. He was born of a virgin, announced by a star in the east, adorned by three kings. Oh, there's where we get the three kings. The Bible doesn't say there were three kings. There was many kings. He's a teacher at 12, baptized, and his ministry began at the age of 30. He had 12 disciples. He performed miracles. He was known as the Lamb of God or the Light. He was crucified. He was dead for 3 days. He was resurrected. But here's where it's different. Consider the Savior who was slain for the salvation of mankind. Our God didn't die for the salvation of everybody, did he? His body as bread was eaten by his worshipers, and on Black Friday he was crucified on a tree from which his holy blood ran down to redeem the earth. There's a whole host of other gods who have the same attributes as this god. I'll name a few of them. Attis of Rome, Krishna, you probably heard of him, of India, Diotrephes of Greece, Mithra of Persia, that's the Freemasonry god. I added this one, Jesus of Judeo-Christianity. And there are many, many others. The zodiac teaches that he was to be what? Born of a virgin. It's the brightest star of Sirius, which is the dog star, star of the east. The three stars of Sirius lined up, which is the three kings, and the birth of God's son at the winter solstice. For 3 days, the sun stands still. Its lowest point in the sky is December 22nd through the 24th. On December 25th, it moves 1 degree to the north. That explains to me fully why the Roman Catholics celebrate Christ Mass at what? Midnight on December 24th to 25th. because it stays the same light and darkness for 3 days. They don't know if he's reborn or not. And on the 25th day, it goes up 1 degree. He's reborn. They don't celebrate his resurrection in the springtime. They do it at Easter when the whole earth is reborn. But you know, this is only true in the northern hemisphere. For the southern hemisphere is experiencing the season of autumn. You have to remember that. When I went to Australia, I left here in December, but I got there, it was like summertime. It was still December. So their Christmas is the middle of the summer. The number 12 is very common. There are 12 constellations in the zodiac. And how these people figured up the zodiac is beyond me. I have no idea how they did it. But there's 12 disciples, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 brothers of Joseph, 12 judges of Israel, 12 great patriarchs, 12 Old Testament prophets, 12 kings of Israel, 12 princes of Israel. Jesus was at the temple when he was 12 years old. And then I drew a picture of the pagan ancient symbol, which is the cross and circle. Has anybody seen this? Buddy, I saw it. I saw it yesterday. I'll tell you where in a little bit. It's the sun of the zodiac. And here's something I don't think anybody could figure out unless they were told by someone who lives forever. The procession of the equinoxes. It goes backwards through the zodiac. How many years does it take to go from one constellation to the next? Well, we'd be dead before it happened. It happens every 2,150 years. So that'd be what? 25,765 years is a great year. 2,150 years is a period or an age. You will notice that when the Israelites made the golden calf, I've always wondered, why'd they make a golden calf? It was the beginning of the constellation Taurus the Bull. And then after that, when Jesus came, it switched to Aries the Ram. That was the ram's horn blown by the Israelites. I should have said then when Jesus was born, it became Pisces the fish. And now we're at the age of Aquarius. Very interesting. In Matthew 28:20, it says, I'll be with you even to the end of the world. But the word world is really age. The Egyptian religion is the same as the religion of many religions of the world. I added this also includes Judeo-Christianity. Baptism, afterlife, final judgment, virgin birth, death and resurrection, but the resurrection is different. Crucifixion, Ark of the Covenant, circumcision, saviors, Holy Communion, Great Flood, Christmas and Easter. Then I put a quote from Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine was a person who was, when the Constitution was made, he was not a Christian. For he said in the Bible he could not find the references to the Israelites. He said it wasn't true. Well, he was referring to the people known as Jews. So he said the Bible was no good. Look at his quote. The Christian religion is a parody of the worship of the sun, in which they put a man called Christ in the place of the sun and pay him the ordination originally paid to the sun. Wow. The title of my message is Communist America. Who were the founding fathers of Christianity? I will answer, it's the Protestant reformers. The pilgrims and many of the Puritans who fought against the rule of who? Roman Catholic Church, which greatly influenced America's Christianity. What religious freedom America has can be related to these religious men who suffered greatly for what they believed. The Roman Catholic Church did not take their defeat without a fight, and they fought on with the creation of the Jesuits, Well, Xavier University is what? A Jesuit university. The world was in a transition phase between what? Science and reason against the covenants that were made with our fathers, who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants. By the time we arrive at the late 1700s, the world was split into many different beliefs. Many held to a version of contrarian beliefs, but very few really believed either by itself. I'm talking about the truth of the Holy Bible versus man's, what, reasoning power. It was known as, what, the Age of Enlightenment? And how anyone could not deny that Benjamin Franklin was not a Christian is amazing to me. Franklin was a major Freemason who traveled from America to Europe and was even the master mason of a lodge in Europe. He is responsible in getting Marquis Lafayette of France, who was a Freemason, to help fight. He was a general in the Revolutionary War. Many historians credit him for being the deciding issue in the fight for America's freedom. For he was not only a good general, but he helped finance and give aid to young America. Even our first president, George Washington, was a Freemason. He dressed up with their Masonic apron uniform when he laid the cornerstone to the Congressional Building. At this ceremony, he joined with other Masonic members from the states of Virginia, Maryland, and the newly built city, Washington, D.C. He even took his inauguration with the Masonic Bible taken from the lodge in which he belonged. Even the people of the Boston Tea Party and Paul Revere were Freemasons. But what were the men who wrote the Constitution and who led our government in the early years? Were they Christian or Freemason or neither? John Adams is considered by many to be a Christian, but he belonged to the Universalist Church. And he said things like, quote, "The government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion," unquote. That's the Treaty of Peace and Friendship, Article 11. Thomas Jefferson believed closer to atheism than Christianity. And John Jay, a justice of the Supreme Court, was a Freemason. And many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were Freemason, and it goes on. But close to the time of our revolution was another revolution. What other nation had a big revolution? The French. What was one of the purposes of the French Revolution? It was to destroy the Roman Catholic Church. I'll give you a quote from Albert Pike in his Freemasonic book, Morals and Dogma. Quote, "Freemasonry aided in bringing about the French Revolution," unquote. There was a war against Christianity, and many of its churches became closed. Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels taught the importance of the French Revolution. The French Revolution raised who? The goddess of reason, which is the unification, the fulfillment of evolution as his goddess that they worshipped. Today, statues of this illuminous goddess of reason are found throughout where? United States of America. Where, do you ask? Well, this person on the screen stands on top of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Next slide. This lady stands on top of the dome of the Capitol building in Austin, Texas. You notice what she's holding in her left hand. Inverted five-pointed star is satanic. She has there. Statues of her have been erected in town squares and city parks all over America. But the most majestic statue of this pagan lady who bears the torch of light, who illuminates and uplifts and frees mankind, is found in New York's harbor, towering above the shimmering but polluted waters. She holds in her outstretched hands a torch of fire and light. It was a gift of the Masonic Order, the modern inheritors of the Illuminati heritage. It, of course, is the Statue of Liberty. It was sculptured by Friedrich Barholi, a member of the Masonic Lodge of the Alsace-Lorraine in Paris, France. This statue is an historic idol of great significance to the secret societies who are plotting the New World Order. Now we'll come to a chart depicting Jezebel's spirit. Jezebel was a lady who wanted to dominate. She had two plans. Plan A, manipulation. It's used from a position of weakness, a female. The second one is intimidation. It's used from a position of strength, and that's the male. The Jezebel spirit uses both plans. She manipulates with her beauty and intimidates from her strength. Now, I'm giving you a quote from Proverbs that talks about this. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 25 through 27. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Jezebel seeks to replace legitimate authority with illegitimate authority. For Jezebel means, quote, without cohabitation, unquote. She wants control more than anything else. Let's look at what the real Jezebel did during the reign of her husband in the kingdom of Israel. We'll just look at four short verses. It's 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 7 through 10. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost not thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. He wanted that vineyard. He asked to buy it, and Naboth told him no. So the wife says, I'll get it for you. She wrote letters in his name and sealed them with his seal. And sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And then what do? You stab him in the back. You set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him. They're lying, saying, Thou didst blaspheming God and the king. Then you carry him out and stone him that he may die. That's how you get his vineyard. She paralyzes people with fear and depression. She controls and kills anyone who is in her way. In Greece, they worshiped Athena, another name for the same goddess. They had by her side the owl, which is a nocturnal animal. The owl can see what no one else can see. The Jewish people teach that Lilith was the original first wife of Adam. In Genesis 1, it says that Adam and Lilith were both created from the dust of the earth. That's what they have in their Bible. They're by equal. Lilith demanded to be on top when they were having intimacy. She refused to submit to the lower position and eventually left the Garden of Eden and went to live in a cave. While there, she became the mother to many demons. In 1966, Anton LaVey, who was he? Head of the Satanic Church. His real name, these people always change their names. Howard Stanton LaVey. He said that at that time, in 1966, began the age of Satan and the age of Adam's ex, Lilith. It was the revolution of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Shortly after this time, another Lilith appeared on the television comedy by the name of Cheers. She was the ex-wife of Frasier. Incredible. But how this evil demon is thought as being a noble goddess. Well, she's what? Beautiful on the outside, but very evil on the inside. She represents everything that's happened in America since 1966. What? Cross-dressing, transgender, free sexual fornication, bestiality, homosexuality, abortion, and many others. She gave birth to people that was also known as the night creatures, or in modern terms, they're known by a different name, vampires. In the past couple of years, vampires have been a major part of where? Television shows, books, magazines, movies. They show immortality of the flesh, which is not the same as a resurrection of a spiritual body. Aleister Crowley identified Lilith as being Babylon. And each year, many of the politicians and major corporate leaders meet at the Bohemian Grove and are seduced by many owls and by Lilith. She is the seducer of men and the destroyer of children, especially little boys. Listen to this. Little boys, from their birth to the eighth day, is vulnerable to her. At the eighth day, what happens to a little boy? He's circumcised and named. And then from 8 days till 3 years old, they don't cut the boy's hair. So if she comes and looks at them in the bed, she will think that they are little girls. Well, that's kind of the background. This is something I didn't really know. Maybe you know it, but I didn't. The French Revolution. Now, remember, the French Revolution occurred just a few years after the American Revolution. It was a war against the monarchy, get rid of the kings, and that's one of the first things they did was kill the king, and also get rid of the rule of the Roman Catholic Church, particularly its pope. The temporal sovereignty of the pope ended when the French Revolution, when the French army captured Rome, in what year? 1798. The Constitution was ratified in what year? 1789 is when it was ratified. So it's right after the Constitution was ratified. The Pope was captured. The French had demanded that the Pope relinquish his temporal sovereignty and withdraw all his edicts against the revolution since 1791, but the Pope refused. Because of this, the French had dethroned, exiled, and threw him in jail. The Pope was taken to France, where he died in exile. The Catholic Church was mortally wounded. I don't think the Catholic Church has died. Do you think so? When did it begin its revival? It was mortally wounded from 1798 until the Vatican was granted the power to be its own sovereign state by a treaty. It's ruled over by the Pope. Does anybody know what year the Vatican was created? 1921. That's only, 21 years before I was born. Have you ever noticed that most Catholic churches, and I don't know if I've been to a few Catholic churches, all but one of them, this was true. Have you ever noticed that most, not all, but most Catholic churches have their congregation facing which direction? Well, you can read up there. Well, they face to the east. Think about the churches you belong to. I don't know, but the ones I've been in face the east. Now, the temple of God had a door on the east. Its people, the Israelites, faced to the west. In Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 14 through 16, let's read what this says. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz, is that a biblical thing? That goes back to Egypt. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were 25 men, with their backs towards the temple of the Lord, and their faces towards the east. And what were they worshiping? They worshiped the sun towards the east. Israelites doing that. So the Catholics turned their backs to the Lord, just like many of their ancestors did at Jerusalem. And they worshiped the rising sun. And they in their mass practice a what? A reenactment over and over again of the crucifixion. That is to crucify him over and over again. His crucifixion is never over. As said by Pope Pius X, here's the quote, the Holy Mass is a prayer itself. It's even the highest prayer that exists. It is the sacrifice dedicated by our Redeemer on the cross and is what? Repeated every day on the altar, unquote. They claim to kill Jesus Christ every day through the ritual of Holy Communion or the Mass. In their Mass, they have a circular wafer. What does that represent? The sun. Catholics are encouraged to worship this. After it's held high above the head of the priest, it is placed in a monstrous. Is that right? Monstrous? You got a picture of one of them. The monstrous is a symbol of a bright sun. This is why the crucifix, the image of Jesus on the cross, is an image which is used by Catholics only. They continually crucify him. Every time they celebrate the Mass, which is every day, they crucify him again. There's the crucifix. The Roman Catholics use a Celtic cross. So now we get the next one, Celtic cross. It's a quarter-centered circle. Where'd you see this before? In the introduction remarks. I looked for this cross. When I went to the library, I saw it. Right on the Roman Catholic Church, right by Rao High School, they got a big cross just like this, right up on the wall. I looked across the street at the Presbyterian Church. They got one too on their little scoreboard. Many pagan mystics believe that this cross utilizes the power from the goddess. By using this cross, the Catholics are proclaiming the power and supremacy of their goddess. Roman Catholics have a works-based religion which does not come from God. His salvation was completed and was successful. It only took what? How many times did Jesus have to die on the cross? One time. All over. There's no need for sacrificing his body and blood day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, millennium after millennium. What it comes after that, I don't know. Works-based religion leads to feelings of either pride or worthlessness and guilt. There's also the Catholic idea of purgatory, where a person spends time between heaven and hell paying for his own sins, or you can pay an indulgence to get him out or shorten his time. There's no biblical basis for this doctrine. Where's it come from? Babylon. The Catholics also use a halo or a circle of light around the head. The Virgin Mary also has a circle of 12 stars around her head in the shape of a halo. This is another Catholic doctrine which has no biblical basis. And then I found this out. Does anybody know what the word Vatican means? It comes from two Latin words, vatus. Vatus is the Latin word meaning divining. And can, C-A-N, which is very close to C-A-I-N, right, means serpent. The word Vatican means the divining serpent. All I can say, isn't that a great word for the headquarters of your church? Celibacy comes from the goddess Sibyl and has no biblical basis whatever. Then there's the three letters I saw on my boyhood Baptist church. It was what? I-H-S. And one day I asked my father, what do those three letters stand for? I couldn't think of any three letters. My father said, let's go ask the preacher. The preacher probably said something, what the Catholics say, Jesus the Savior of mankind. It's really the first letter of each of the evil Egyptian trinity. What does the I stand for? It's the first letter of what word? Isis. What's the H stand for? Horus. What does the S stand for? Set. Iris, Horus, and Set. Notice that it's all the symbols of the occult. There is a false good reason and the right evil reason. I got a quote from John Sullivan. It is interesting to note how often our church has availed herself of practices which were in common use among who? Pagans. Thus, it is true in a certain sense that some Catholic rites and ceremonies are pre-production of those of pagan creeds. I got another quote, Story of Catholicism. It has often been charged that Catholicism is overlaid with many pagan incrustations. Catholicism is ready to accept that accusation, even to make it her boast. The great god Pan is really not dead. He is baptized. Jeez. Got one from Cardinal Newman. The use of temples and these dedicated to particular saints and ornamented on occasion with branches of trees, incense, lamps, and candles, volative offerings of recovery from illness, holy water, asylum, holy days and season, use of calendars, processions, blessings on the fields, sacratorial vestments, the tonsure, the ring in marriage, images at a latter date, perhaps the ecclesiastical chant, are all of pagan origin and sanctified by their adoption into the church. Got another quote. The penetration of the religion of Babylon became so general and well known that Rome was called what? The New Babylon. Another quote from Eusebius. In order to attach to Christianity great attraction in the eyes of the nobility, what did the priest adopt? The robes that were used in pagan cults. We never wear a robe up here. Then the twisted cross is a sinister symbol used by Satanists in the 6th century that had been revived at the time of Vatican II. This was a bent or broken cross on which was displayed a repulsive and distorted figure of Christ, which the black magician and sorcerers of the Middle Ages made up to represent the biblical term Mark of the Beast. Yet not only Paul VI, but his successors, the two John Pauls, carried that object and held it up to be revered by crowds who had not the slightest idea that it stood for the Antichrist. That's a quote from the Broken Cross. Thus, the twisted cross held in the hand of the Pope is a sign of the Antichrist. There's also the XP cross, the first two letters of the name of Jesus. I'll read you what Albert Pike says about this one, Morals and Dogma. Quote, the active and passive principles of the universe were commonly symbolized by the genitive parts of man and women. The Indian ligament was the union of both, as were the boat in the mast and the point within a circle, all of which expressed the same philosophical idea, so the union of the two great causes of nature, which occur, one actively and the other passively, in the generation of all beings. And there's the cross I'm talking about. If we go to 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 11, I'll show you a bunch of scriptures. And he's referring to King Josiah, took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to who? The son. At the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, who was in the suburbs, and he burned what? The chariots of the sun with fire. The pagan sun wheel was used in ancient Judah. But now where is it? It's on the ground of the plaza at the Vatican, and I'll show you a picture of it a little bit later. It's the symbol for Baal at the base of the obelisk. Let's look at Exodus 23, verse 24. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Exodus 34:13. But you shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. Leviticus 26, verse 1. You shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. What commandment did the Roman Catholics take out? Commandment number 2. It talks about you shall have no idols. Deuteronomy 7:5, but thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Deuteronomy 12:3, And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. 1 Kings 14:23. For they also built them high places and images, and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. 2 Kings 3:2. And he, referring to King Jehoram, wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. 2 Kings 10:26-28. And they, the men of Jehu, brought forth the images out of the house of Baal, and they, what? Burn it. They broke down the image of Baal, and they broke down the house of Baal, and they made it a drought house unto this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of the kingdom of Israel. 2 Chronicles 14:3-5. For he, King Asa, took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their father and do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and images. And what happened? And the kingdom was quiet before him. No one fought wars against him. You think it's what has to happen in the United States? Who makes up the Supreme Court? 6 Roman Catholics and 3 Jews. 2 Chronicles 31:1. Now when all this was finished under King Hezekiah, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the images in pieces and cut down the groves, and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, and Ephraim also Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned every man to his possession and to his own cities. 2 Chronicles 34:4. And they broke down the altars of Balaam in his, King Josiah's, presence, and the sun images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images, he brake in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode upon it the graves of them that sacrificed unto them. Isaiah 17:8. And he shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers had made, either the groves or the sun images. 3 more. Isaiah 27:9. By this therefore shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin, when he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, the groves and sun images shall not stand up. Jeremiah 43:13. He, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, shall break also the images of Beth-Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. And finally, Micah 5:13, thy graven images also I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. Well, it's enough verses to show that Israel was blessed when they went and destroyed all these sun images, and they were cursed when they didn't. The obelisk in the Vatican is what? The largest of all the Egyptian obelisks. It was brought to the Vatican Plaza from where? Egypt. It was used in Egypt to worship what? The sun god. What would a Christian organization do with the big obelisks? Worship their god? Or would they worship the sun god? If you notice here, here's the obelisks. Down at the bottom you see the dial wheel. Yeah, the sun wheel. Revelation chapter 17, verses 4 through 6 is really something. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I, John the Apostle, saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Unquote. It goes on and says other things. Let me ask you a question. What are the colors of the Roman Catholic Church? Well, what are the robes of the bishops? Purple. What are the robes of the cardinals? Scarlet, yes. Oh, purple and scarlet. And many of their vessels and things in the church are definitely gold. What were the colors of Israel's high priest? Well, they were purple, scarlet, gold, and one more color, blue. What is the significance of the missing color, blue? I don't have this as a transparency because I found it this morning. It's Numbers chapter 15, 37 through 40, if you want to turn to it. It says, And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make their fringes and the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of their borders a ribbon of blue. Why? Well, it says, And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and when you see the blue color, you remember to do all the commandments of the Lord. And do them. And that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. That you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. That's why there's no blue. The church is called the bride of Christ. Therefore, a prostitute metaphorically represents a false church or religious system. Mary is known as the Queen of Heaven. She's also called a co-demptric, I think is the way you pronounce it, which means that Mary is just as responsible for our redemption as Jesus was. Semiramis and Mary are both known as the Queen of Heaven, the Great Mother, the Virgin Mother, the Celestial Mother, the Mother of God, and the Eternal Virgin. Jeremiah 7:18. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire. And the women knead their dough, and they make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. And to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Israel's always done this. Mary is said by the Catholic Church to be sinless. Catholics are told to pray to Mary. The Catholic Mary is deified. She is the same as Astoreth. The Catholics didn't get rid of the goddess Astoreth. They just call her by another name. The one holy Catholic and apostolic church is led by the Bishop of Rome, successor to Peter the first pope, has always venerated the Blessed Virgin Mary, including her sinlessness. For the church follows Scripture, especially the New Testament, where she, capital letter S, herself, capital letter H, compiled as perfectly as she, capital S, follows her, capital H, tradition. Let me ask you a question then. Are Roman Catholics Christians? Or are they our enemy? I also might add that the Catholic Church had children. Are they our enemy? I believe they are. They, from the beginning, have lied about their church. For example, they said the Apostle Peter was their first leader. Well, the Bible, he was never in Rome. He was in Babylon. Oh, Babylon. It was Simon Magus who they're talking about. Mary was not sinless. And the paragraph I just read to you, they capitalized the letter for she, herself, and her. They made her into a goddess. Babylonia is not a religion that's done away, but it's alive and well. Catholicism is the largest religion of the world, and it's keeping alive the religion of Babylon. If you see that, you'll find out that we have a whole host of enemies. I've always wondered about these other religions, how they could all get together, and now I understand how they do it. The Roman Catholic Church gathered back up, came back to life in 1921, and they are gathering back all their children. And what thing do they teach? Their name tells you what they teach. They are universalists. We are fortunate to live in a country that does not persecute us, but it's going to change as they go for their new world order with the Jews and Freemasons and everybody else. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. You stand for the truth that God has given you. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Amen.